You're too damn white, guys.
Welcome back to another Too Damn White Guys. I'm Julian Smith.
I'm Andrew Rader.
And we're talking about vaccines today. Should you vaccinate your children?
The answer is yes. End of episode.
End of episode.
Thanks. It was a good episode. Thanks for tuning in to Too Damn White Guys this week.
See you later. We're going to kind of take this from like a historical perspective, I believe, right? We're going to talk about like history.
We're talking about what vaccines are. Yeah. History of vaccines a little bit, what they are, how they work.
I just want to say before we launch into vaccines, I know nothing really about vaccines. I mean, I know how they work, but I don't know anything about the history. Well, they give you a little bit of the poison, right?
To immunize. Kind of similar.
So, but I know that also they've like changed a lot of vaccination, like the way they make the vaccines in the last 50 years, but that's like the extent of all I know. So this will be just as much of an educational experience for me as it will be for the listeners. So I'm excited, but we should jump into the news. So why don't you tell me the news? Are you ready?
Yep.
Andrew tells Julian the news.
We launched and landed Dragon. Spacecraft.
Oh.
First crew spacecraft test. So this is the spacecraft that's going to carry humans to space for the first time from the United States.
Who did this?
About 7 years, SpaceX.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That was pretty cool.
That was a big deal, right?
That was a big deal.
So why was that a big deal?
It's the first human spacecraft launch from the United States in about 7 years. It brings back the capability to launch humans to space.
Was there a first or was it just news because it was been 7 years?
Well, it's the first commercial crew vehicle to launch as well.
Commercial.
So it will carry humans sometime this year. We launched a plushie of Earth, little Earth plushie buddy. And
so there's just an Earth plush toy floating in space right now?
Yeah. Well, the astronauts aboard the space station kidnapped him. So he's being held hostage on the International Space Station.
What else happened this week?
A mummy head, 800-year-old mummy head was stolen in Ireland.
It was in a museum or what?
Museum, yeah.
Oh my gosh. Do we know what happened to it?
I don't think so. I think it's missing.
It's just
so
like
if you find a mummy head, just figure out which museum and call them, I guess.
I like to think that it's in like some guy's bedroom in like some frat house or something. Just like this mummy head amongst a bunch of beer bottles.
Yep. This Chinese firm is trying to make a new app to track where your chicken came from. Actually, so to track your chicken's movement, it's like Fitbit for your chicken. So if you have a chicken that you're going to eat for dinner, you want to know the history of the chicken. Was it, did it have a good life? Did it move around a lot? Like, did it get enough exercise? You can now be able to, you'll now soon be able to track your chicken's activities.
That is actually kind of amazing. Maybe a little bit TMI. Maybe. Is this for use in China or everywhere?
No, everywhere. Yeah.
So what is it? Like you like prod your chicken breast or something or what? Like you test, like it doesn't.
Comes with like a history, I guess. So you can download the data maybe. I don't know how you get the data, but like you can see like how many steps your chicken got every day for.
There's like a QR like, code on the front of the packaging of the chicken.
Is this a healthy, active chicken? Well, this chicken ran a marathon. Must be goodie.
This chicken just Netflix and chilled its whole life.
No, exactly. Manafort got, I guess, 4 years in prison or something like that. That was Trump's campaign advisor just sentenced, which is a pretty small sentence, actually.
Who?
Trump's campaign advisor, Paul Manafort.
Paul Manafort. Why? So he's in jail for 4 years?
He's going to be sent to jail for 4 years.
For what?
I think it's for not declaring business interests with foreign powers. He's paid by the Russians and Ukrainians. I'm not sure exactly the nature of the crimes, but embezzlement and fraud and things like that.
Too bad. Too bad. Well, yeah, 4 years doesn't sound like nearly enough.
No, I think he could have been sentenced for life, but the judge was pretty lenient, I think. Actually, the story was that the judge was lenient.
Maybe because he was a politician or something?
Nah, I actually don't know the reason. I think he cooperated to some extent. I think that's probably something to do with it. Yeah.
He embezzled a little more?
No, cooperated with the Mueller investigation.
Oh, okay, so, okay. Mm-hmm. Was that the news or was there something else that
happened?
That's the news. Wow.
That's all that happened. Well, absolutely everything.
Pretty good week. Only one person went to jail. A lot more went to jail. Only one person made the news. All right, so you want to dive into vaccines, I guess?
Vaccines. We started talking about lifespan. Actually, so how I got on this topic, though, was I took my daughter to school, to daycare, and she's just 1 year old, and they were concerned that she had a fever and then had some spots.
Right.
And we were called to pick her up. And they thought she had a measles outbreak because there was this measles outbreak in Washington State, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And they thought they were worried that they might catch measles from her. And what had happened was she had recently gotten the measles vaccine. And 12 days later, about 5%, I didn't realize how rare it was, but it's pretty rare, about 5% of people come down with this reaction to the vaccine.
So they'll actually get the thing that you're trying to immunize?
Well, no. See, it's not really measles full-blown. And we're going to get to this in a little bit when we talk about how vaccines work. But it's not communicable. It's not a severe reaction. So you're not really... It's not accurate to say you're getting the disease, mm-hmm. but you're getting like a little tiny bit of it, maybe, let's mm-hmm. say.
A little poison.
Yeah. So anyway, didn't have the measles, not transmissible. But people are worried about vaccines, right? There's this big anti-vaxxer movement, so we're going to talk about that. Yeah. It's all based on this paper that was published, I think, 1998 by this British doctor, falsified, redacted, totally made up, totally spurious data. Unequivocally rejected by all the entire scientific community.
This is an anti-vaxxer guy.
Yeah, actually, he was kind of pro-vaccine, but he published it to disparage the main MRR, measles, rubella, MMR, measles, mumps, rubella vaccine. Yeah. So he was kind of going for a competing one. So he wasn't even really an anti-vaxxer. He was just like against this particular vaccine for commercial reasons.
And so you're saying that this guy's paper ended up like spurring on a whole movement?
This whole movement. I think it's just the conspiracy thing in general. Yeah, I think people just like rejecting things to be different. And I think the human mind has like suspicions and it kind of jumps to conclusions. It's like why we have the the moon landing fake thing, the, I don't know, 2000... one conspiracies regarding that.
I've always wondered, because I'm not an anti-moon landing conspiracy theorist, but I have heard one argument that I've never heard a good answer for, and I'm sure you know the answer. The one of the main arguments is that in the footage of the first moon landing, the flag is waving. Mm-hmm. And I heard arguments that it should just be completely still, because is that false?
Well, it shouldn't necessarily be completely still, so there's no air to slow it down. So if it's resonating, there's a little bit of drag maybe that will cause it. But basically, if you set it flapping, like just by touching it, even because it was held suspended by a wire, and if you kind of like hit it, it's going to like flap back and forth on the wire, and it's going to do that for a lot longer than it would on Earth, actually, because there's no, you know, drag, no air slowing it down.
So the astronauts had actually physically put it in motion is the argument.
Yeah, okay. I think so. I mean, not intentionally, it's this delicate wire, and just by touching it at all, you're going to have some perturbation, some kind of oscillation in it. I'm guessing that's what it probably was.
Okay.
Well, I heard that explanation, but that's my explanation right now.
Yeah, so. Well, that makes enough sense. I don't want to spend too much time on that, but I think I was just curious because you said fake moon landing. So, but anyways, keep going.
Yeah, so people have these suspicions. I think it's just like this rejection of authority kind of or information. People think often that there's more to things than there are, I guess. Is this like...
distrust.
Distrust in general. Distrust, yeah. I think that's probably it. So, yeah, I don't really know, honestly, because I don't really understand it myself, so I can't really explain why other people would jump to these conclusions, but I think that's... Also,
this kind of ties in with our Martin Gurry episode with like how much information is available to people mm-hmm. today and how that affects, like, they think no one has authority because mm-hmm. You can always find an argument to any information on that. You can pretty much find anything you want on the internet. So.
Yeah, but some arguments are better than others. Some are backed by scientific studies with lots of data, and some mm-hmm. are just made up by some guy in his basement.
Right. Yeah.
But anyway, so vaccines and just medicine in general is probably the thing that has saved the most lives in history, mm-hmm. way more than like the end of wars and things like that. Like so many more people were killed by just simple diseases. We were talking about lifespans.
Yeah.
So
many things
get
attributed.
Some of that is misleading because lifespans have doubled in the past 150 years. Mm-hmm. But some of that's misleading because infant mortality was really high. Most people, most of the deaths were in childhood. 15% of infants used to die within the first year, which is really high, 15%. It's really high. And then a lot died in the next few years. But if you live to 20, your lifespan was almost as high as it is today. Mm-hmm. But still, people die disproportionately of diseases, but young people are more susceptible to diseases and died often just getting, you know, the first disease and stuff like that, because infants would get sick with these serious diseases.
Mm-hmm. People attribute so many things to the increase in lifespan. Like, I'll find myself talking to, like, you know, I don't have a a diet that I think is mm-hmm. necessarily the best, but you have all like, you'll have like a vegan or somebody who's like gluten free, and they'll like, they'll argue that like these modern diets are increasing lifespan mm-hmm. when I think there's probably not much basis for it. And I think it's, mm-hmm. it's probably just medicine and vaccines, right? That's like the biggest.
Yeah, for sure. Those are the big things that increase.
I'm sure diet can help, but like, yeah, it's all speculative.
Level, I mean, you exercise, you eat the right kinds of food and stuff like that. Yeah, you're probably going to give yourself a few extra years, but mm-hmm. You know, in global terms, obviously, it's mainly the eradication of disease, like smallpox completely eradicated, polio, I think it's almost completely eradicated. There's actually like a small yogurt tub of smallpox in a U.S. freezer somewhere in the CDC, Center for Disease Control, and probably one in Russia as well.
Wait. All I heard was chicken pox in a yogurt tub.
Smallpox?
Yeah. In a yogurt? What does that mean? Smallpox in a yogurt tub?
Yeah. You know, in your freezer, you stick like leftovers in the freezer.
Yeah.
So there's like a little thing of smallpox in a freezer in the CDC somewhere.
Why?
So I think the argument is, well, there's maybe twofold. One is to be able to, you want to keep it in case you need to figure out, work with it to figure out like some kind of cure down the road, right? It may be like a useful tool. Possibly is like a bargaining chip kind of biological weapon arsenal kind of thing. Like same reason you keep nuclear weapons just as a deterrent.
Okay. I thought you were saying like some guy with smallpox was eating some yogurt and left it in the freezer.
That may be possible as well.
I was like, wait, what? Why did he put it back in the freezer? Yeah. He should have thrown it out.
In the garbage. Nothing can happen then.
Now I'm with you.
Yeah.
Well, it makes sense that vaccines are, I think this is why vaccines are so important, because you just said that so many, the life expectancy is mainly increasing because babies aren't dying as much.
Yeah, so that's true. Like Socrates lived till 72 and he was executed. The Bible actually says the human lifespan is 60+10. It identifies it.
I've never known what that means.
70 years. Score 70. Is 20. So 60 plus 10. So 70 years.
Thank you for explaining that verse to me.
So basically, the Bible says humans live 70 years, which is still more or less true. Humans live a little bit longer now.
Well, ancient Bible, they lived like 900 years.
Well, yeah, but that's just fairy tales.
Like 7-day creation.
Yeah. Like Noah was like 900 years old.
Yeah,
Abraham or something. Yeah. One Methuselah, was it? Was
yeah.
Like 1,000 years old or I don't know, was it?
I heard an argument. There's probably no science behind it and it's totally speculative, but I heard that like... there's all these people that want to like reconcile those crazy long lifespans with science and like how people could have lived. And there's arguments that like those lifespans were before that big regional flood that the Bible says was a global flood, but it definitely wasn't.
Right. Yeah.
But like the argument is that climate change, you know, when that flood happened, it could have actually put like different gravitational pull on the earth and it could have actually changed how long people live.
Nope.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I don't think so.
No basis for that.
Yeah. No. I never bought that one, but I wanted to hear your response.
The more logical answer is that someone wrote it down.
Yeah. Yeah.
Someone just was like, it'd be a kind of a cool story.
Or our perception of time changed.
But that's why, by the way, like biblical people think the earth is 8,000 years old or something like that. Mm-hmm. What's the biblical timeline? Because
it's like four
some
or five.
Some monk went and added up everyone's lifespan, and that's how they came up with that number.
Oh.
In the Bible, because like, well, the Bible reveals the entire truth of everything. So if we just add up everyone's like ages in the Bible, we can come up with how old the earth is. Anyway, so vaccines, history of vaccines.
Let's
so
start
you're kind
from
of
the
right
beginning.
That vaccines started with like a little bit of the poison to some extent. They, to some extent, still are. There are different types of vaccines, but all of them are the definition of a vaccine is giving your body training. So it's like exercise for your body. Your immune system takes days once it identifies a new pathogen, a new virus or bacteria in your system to come up with antibodies that are effective at fighting it. And this happens whether you get the disease or not. So like if you get measles or something like that, your body comes up with a defense against it. But sometimes you're dead. You don't have time, right? So you want to instead pre-train your body by introducing something that will give your body the ability to build up the antibodies without actually getting the disease.
Okay, so modern vaccines are more like, it's not necessarily giving you a little bit of the actual disease, it's just giving you something to build up antibodies?
Well, actually, no. So, sort of. Let's talk about the history of vaccines. So, inoculation is similar to vaccine, and often the words are used interchangeably, but inoculation is really something different. And this was like the first kind of vaccine Mark 1. And this is in ancient India and China, especially China, about 1,000 years ago, we think it was invented. And basically what that was, they take smallpox patients and they would get all kinds of scabs and stuff on them and blisters and then little scabs. And they would take the scabs and powder them, make a powder, and then they would introduce them into like a lesion, a cut. So they make a little scratch in your arm and put little...
Gross.
And so they think that... they would try to identify like weaker strains of it or something like that. So they basically try to give you a mild case of smallpox in order to...
They take some other person's like scab and rub it in a cup.
Yuck. Yeah.
Gross.
And the idea was if you introduce it that way through the skin, there was some evidence that it tends to be a milder form of it. You get a mild strain, plus they try to identify a milder strain in the first place. Something that didn't kill someone. And so they basically did give you smallpox, but they give you like a weak form of it and you would hopefully not die.
Because it's in a scab.
No. It's just because it's introduced into your skin, not to your blood.
Maybe it
was slower acting, so your body had a little bit more chance to fight it. Plus it was maybe a weaker form of the disease if they try to identify people who have like a less severe case of it. So basically they give it to you very slowly in a less potent form, basically, and your body just got smallpox, but got it kind of slowly, and you developed antibodies to it.
So this idea originated in China.
Yeah,
Inoculation.
It's like the first form of vaccine.
It's very Eastern. It seems like a very Eastern idea. It's like the idea of resistance. Like, you know, they have those like exercises where you walk on a bed of nails and things like that.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay.
You know, it's like a little bit of pain. It builds tolerance or, you know, resistance, you know.
Yeah, I think it's just like experimenting with things and seeing what works.
Mm-hmm.
Inoculation, it came into England and in New England and America in the early 1700s.
Pretty recently.
And then in 1797 was the first sort of modern vaccine. Edward Jenner, he... Notice that...
Of Kardashian fame?
Yeah, I was going to say that. I do not think, although I do not know, if he's related to the Jenners.
Well, they are a very influential family, so maybe it's a connection.
So he observed that milkmaids, like women who milked cattle, would sometimes get this rash and pox, this very mild form of a pox that looked kind of like smallpox, but it wasn't very severe. And it's because cows...
Smaller pox.
Yeah. It's because cows have cowpox.
Oh, that's an actual thing.
Cowpox is an actual thing.
Ugh.
It's less deadly than smallpox. It's a pretty mild... Because I think it may be somewhat bad for cows, but for humans, because it is like specified to cows, it's less deadly. And you just get a bit of a fever and you get a bit of a... the poxes, but it's not very severe.
Well, how come mad cow disease is so deadly then?
That's a prion. It's a totally different thing. Yeah.
So it's not
a virus or bacteria.
So it doesn't have as much to do with the fact that it comes from a cow, right? That it's,
no.
Okay.
No. It could come from anything. Like a lot of our diseases mostly cross over from other animals, actually.
Right.
But diseases are almost always specified to the host. Mm-hmm. So they're kind of evolved. They're evolved to act on one particular type of, or to prefer one type of host. We're pretty close to pigs. That's why, like, pigs give us a lot of diseases. Why, like, probably biblical prohibitions on eating meat, like the Jews, Muslims and stuff. Maybe it's because the trichinosis thing.
Yeah.
Pigs, the meat rots in the desert and all that kind of thing. And maybe that, maybe also deforestation, like pigs root up trees and stuff and makes the desert worse. It's interesting. Also, just like...
You calling me a pig?
No.
Well, I'm calling you a pig.
Okay. I'm uncomfortable.
We're going to take a quick break, but don't go anywhere. We're coming right back. I promise.
Okay, so smallpox or cowpox. So he noticed that women who were exposed to cowpox were resistant to smallpox because it's a cousin. Cowpox is like a cousin of smallpox.
It's a pox.
So if you... Yeah, a pox on your house. So if you got the cowpox, you would not get... smallpox. So what he did was he basically made a vaccine out of cowpox. So he'd give people cowpox.
Because it wasn't as bad.
Right, because it's not as bad. So they get a bit of a reaction to it.
Okay.
And then they're immune from smallpox, the bad one.
Yeah.
Because it trained your body. It's like, oh, I know how to beat cowpox. and therefore I can also beat smallpox, which is worse.
That's fascinating.
Yeah, so that's like the first vaccine. But it was live. It was like basically giving you cowpox.
So this is the first vaccine or the first form of inoculation?
No, inoculation is when you give them literally the same. I mean, usually it's taken to mean when you literally give them the same disease, but try to give it to them not as badly.
Okay. Okay.
Right? Whereas a vaccine is not giving you the same disease.
Okay.
It's giving you like something to train your body, but it's not, you're not just giving them straight up the disease. Okay. Inoculation is basically giving them straight up the disease.
That was something I was not clear on. I always thought that the chickenpox vaccine was like a little bit of chickenpox and things like that.
Yeah, sort of. It is. We're going to get to that, but okay. It sort of is. So the next work in vaccines was Louis Pasteur, mm-hmm. and he invented, we talked about him in the other episode.
Right.
He invented basically everything to do with medicine. He's awesome. That pasteurization, as we call it, like mm-hmm. when you heat up the food. So he invented like a way to can food safely, kill the, so anytime we have like food enclosed in a container and it's not rotten, and doesn't give you food poisoning.
That's Louis Pasteur.
Louis Pasteur, yeah. He invented the rabies vaccine. And so what he did was he took rabies. I actually had this book about this when I was a kid. It was awesome. It was like, had a dog who was like, I'm going to bite you.
Old Yeller?
Yeah, but Old Yeller with rabies.
Old Yeller did get rabies.
Oh, did he?
Spoiler alert.
Okay, I did not know that. Okay. Anyway, and then
they kill him
and
in
he was
the
sick.
End.
The boy was sick, and he had like a thermometer and a compress on his head, and they took him to Louis Pasteur in Paris, and he's like, oh, oui. I gotta treat this guy. And then, so, anyway, so he basically did some experiments.
By the way, you're the only person that I know that was interested in reading about rabies as a child. This is fascinating.
That's a good book. So he did some experiments where he basically took rabies viruses and killed them. And so he found that even like deactivated or dead viruses would train your body. Mm-hmm. So basically then he was injecting like deactivated or dead, like he treated, I think, viruses. And that was like a rabies vaccine. So you could like kill or deactivate the virus and it would still train your body in the same way. And that's pretty much how vaccines actually work. So
okay.
They have like a deactivated strain, sometimes still alive, sometimes dead. I think there are different types of vaccines, but usually it's a form of the virus that will not make you sick, but still is enough to train your body. So it's like a deactivated version. And like the measles vaccine is actually grown in chicken eggs. A lot of vaccines are grown in chicken eggs and things like that because you have to grow these things in some kind of biological host, right?
So they grow them inside eggs?
Yeah.
Wow. And then they put the eggs on the store shelves?
No, different eggs.
I'm joking.
But
don't buy the eggs.
It reminds me of aliens, actually, because you know in aliens, the face huggers, they impregnate you with their little eggs.
Yeah,
and then they come out and it's like this little, the xenomorph. And the xenomorph has different characteristics based on what the host was, right? Like in Aliens 3, they were in the prison on that penal colony planet.
I never saw Aliens 3.
Oh, it's a good one. Well, they're all good. I mean, it's pretty dark, actually. It's definitely the darkest. It's not considered as good as 2. Aliens 2 is the best. And 1 is pretty good, too. But anyway, so in that one, the facehugger finds the dog, and then the xenomorph that comes out is kind of like a dog-like alien, right? And then if it impregnates a human, the alien is basically like human-like. So the xenomorphs and aliens are supposed to be like mirrors of ourselves and stuff. That's why they have like Ripley, which, by the way, was the name of the passenger on the Dragonflight, Ripley.
Oh, right. I heard about that.
Facing the xenomorph because they're like the evil version of humans to some extent, right? But when they first found the aliens in the first movie, it was on this other alien who was a kind of humanoid, but they looked different, right? Mm-hmm. All the aliens based on the host, right? And so anyway, getting back to vaccines, they grow the measles vaccine in chicken eggs. And so the virus is basically conditioned to the chicken host or the chicken egg host, right? And so it doesn't really infect humans.
Oh, so, that's so smart.
Yeah. So it's basically like deactivated to infect humans so it doesn't infect you.
So the virus is looking for a chicken, but it's injected into a human.
Yeah, more or less. You could say
that's crazy.
Yeah.
I never knew that.
Yeah, so vaccines basically train your body to be able to defend against the disease without literally giving you the disease. But sometimes they actually are live viruses.
this whole anti-vaccine movement has become so huge. I mean, I don't even watch the news or listen or read the news, and I've heard about it. It's gotten a little out of control. I always thought this was like a small group of people that weren't vaccinating, and it seems like it's like a huge movement. So like,
it's not that big actually, but all it takes is a small group of people to make a big difference. In both good things and bad things.
That's true. Yeah. All it takes is like 1,000 people not vaccinating to kill 1,000,000 people.
not 1,000,000 people, but kill a bunch of people. So basically, certain people are very sensitive to vaccines and cannot be safely given vaccines anyway, right? Mm-hmm. So people,
I didn't know that.
This is the problem, is that anti-vaxxers destroy this thing called herd immunity, which is when enough people, over 90%, 95%, are vaccinated, no one has the disease, no one can get the disease, therefore no one can pass along the disease to other people. So even if you have a few people who are not vaccinated, those people will never get the disease because there's no one around them who has the disease. That's called herd immunity.
Herd immunity.
And there are some people, a very small fraction of the population, who cannot safely be given the vaccine.
I didn't know this.
And in order to weaken immune systems and things like that,
what do we do with people like that?
Well, we try to protect them with herd immunity. So it's safe for them as long as other people are vaccinated.
Okay.
But if you're a healthy person and you're not getting the vaccine, you're a horrible person because
it's your responsibility.
Well, you're basically destroying herd immunity, so you're possibly you may be able to safely survive measles. I mean, measles doesn't kill most people, but it does kill some people. Mm-hmm. And if you're passing along the measles virus to people who aren't immune because they haven't been exposed to the vaccine, then you may kill people. And so this is a real problem.
Yeah, there is one vaccine that we did not give to our kids because my wife had a really adverse reaction to it as a kid. It actually gave her epilepsy for 2 years. So we were really scared of this vaccine. I think it was DTaP was the one. It was one of these like combined vaccines. And we, after some research, this year, we decided to give our kids the DTaP vaccine finally, because we just rolling the dice. Cause apparently they're now making it differently than they did back then. So we were like, okay, it's probably safe. Let's just go ahead and do it for their well-being. So we were trying to explain to the kids, you know, they're a little older than most kids getting vaccines, cause our oldest is 5 now. So usually she would have had it by now. So we were trying to explain to her why she was going to have to go get a shot and what they were going to do. And it seems like, I guess, vaccines, this is what I told her anyways, I don't even know if it's true, but it seems like vaccines are necessary because of how close we're living with animals and things like that through agriculture and livestock and things like that, but also like how closely we live to other people. There's like so many other people, and so like viruses are like much easier to spread because mm-hmm. we're in such close proximity. So it almost is like your civic duty to, you know, make sure you're not carrying something mm-hmm. that can... You know, if I got you sick, that would be terrible.
Also, they're incredibly safe. There was a recent study about the link with autism and vaccines. This was the one that was a total spurious paper before, but there was a recent one. No, there's been lots of studies on it. No study has found any evidence basically at all. In fact, one recent one found like a slight inverse correlation. People were less likely to get autism if they got their vaccines.
Have you heard?
Certainly, you're less likely to die. His parents protected him from the vaccine or whatever. And when he grew up, he is getting them now and he's suing his parents.
This kid is suing his parents because he didn't get vaccinated?
Right, yeah.
My gosh, that's kind of messed up. That's really sad.
I think it's good. Makes sense.
Has anybody ever died from taking a vaccine?
I don't think so.
Are there any adverse reactions to vaccines? Obviously, you can like develop a little bit of like your daughter.
It's just like superficial. I don't think so. I'm not aware of any. I mean, I don't know the answer. So vaccines have evolved over time. So probably early on, maybe to some extent. But what we can say for sure is that the risk of not taking a vaccine is vastly greater than the risk of taking a vaccine. Mm-hmm. So I don't know for sure, but definitely they're extremely safe.
Yeah. So. I mean,
highly regulated.
I wonder what the trick is with getting these anti-vaxxers to come around to. I feel like information is something we continually talk about. Like the availability of information.
I mean, I think ridicule is good. Yeah. On social media, there's all these viral tweets about making fun of the people who...
It should be illegal not to get vaccinated unless unhealthy.
Right. I think that's actually a reasonable thing. Of course, people react... I mean, that might make the reaction against vaccines worse because then people think, oh, the government's shoving these things down our throats and stuff like that. Like, America has a very anti... authority streak to it, and mm-hmm. I think sort of that's maybe where some of this comes from. I certainly think it. It's already, I guess, opt out, so you automatically get it unless you protest medically. But and should a doctor or a state ever be able to force you to do anything? I'm not sure. I agree with that. I think that people should have a choice, but they should choose to do it.
Yeah.
So, that's a tough thing, right? Yeah, well, it's an interesting question.
It is interesting because, on one hand, people should have freedom to make their own choices, but at the same time, if that freedom makes someone else really sick,
well, it's true. Yeah, yeah, that is a valid point.
Maybe it's case by case. Maybe you should just sue people that get you sick that aren't vaccinated.
Actually, that's a reasonable possibility.
So you should sue your parents.
Not that there aren't enough lawsuits already in the U.S. It's pretty litigious society, so yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, suing is just about, it's just about money, right? Making things fair with money. Mm-hmm. So I think it's probably fine. I mean, the court is definitely crowded with, maybe too many cases, but it seems like it would be better to just take that into your own hands than voting for a law mm-hmm. where everyone has to get vaccinated. Mm-hmm. I think there would probably be some kind of revolt.
Are there any
to that.
Medical treatments that are mandated? I'm just trying to think.
Hospitals have mandated, they have requirements if you're going to go to a private entity.
Well, that's true.
They have certain hoops you have to jump through.
Yeah, I mean, especially I think for childbirth. You could already do that. So for sure, vaccines are mandated for people who work with children, mm-hmm. hospital workers, things like that, and that's definitely good, mm-hmm. obviously. So that should be the case. But yeah, I don't know. Beyond that, it's hard to say.
It's tough because
I have mixed
hospital,
feelings about that. I mean, obviously, vaccines are good, but at the same time, personal freedom's important too, so I'm not sure.
How do we know that there's not, we should wind this down, but I guess for any anti-vaxxers that might be listening, is there any empirical proof that that shows that these vaccines are safe and that there's nothing conspiracy theory related inside them? Because I think a lot of the argument with anti-vaxxers is oh, who knows what's in them, and it's
the problem is, where do you get your information from, right?
Yeah.
So you can read anybody saying, exactly, yeah. You can read anything saying, making outrageous claims about things, but, and even a lot of celebrity doctors, Dr. Phil was talking to an anti-vaxxer and actually gave him some credibility and stuff, but you have to have scientifically peer-reviewed studies, and that's mm-hmm. really important, right? And there is no scientific literature that has a causal link between autism and vaccines, or really any negative health effects of vaccines.
Well, I guess the conclusion of this episode is the same as so many episodes. Be careful what you read on the internet. And these are big decisions. Yeah. Vaccines, big decision. If you don't get it, if you don't get your kid.
I think it's a big decision not to. It's not a very big decision to do it. It's kind of the opposite.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. Yeah. This has been Two Damn White Guys on why you should vaccinate your children. Please, for the love of God, do it. Also, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts if you enjoyed this episode. We really appreciate those, and they're so helpful. You can follow us on Twitter if you want. I'm at Julian Was Here. Andrew is at Mars Raider. And these episodes come out every Monday, and we hope to have you back next week. Thank you so much for listening.